Hello and welcome to the headquarters, a special edition of the headquarters, recorded in the basement of the Firkinon King. You're probably hearing some like sweet 80s music in the background. Not sure if this is all going to record very well, but we'll give it a shot. I'm your host, Sean Woodley, and I'm joined for another crossover episode with the Rappers Republic. It's William Liu. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. We're live on location. We're about to hear more qualified people talk more coherently about the Raptors in a smarter way.
But we're like the undercard for Hoop Talks.
We are here at Hoop Talks, which is this is probably a bad time to advertise for them, considering the events tonight. But check out future Hoop Talks events. They're
it's
really
a fun,
fun
time, yeah. And maybe they'll let us do one at some point in 2022 or something like that.
Sure,
that'd be fun.
We'll be famous there one day.
So it's going to be. I think we're going to structure this one a little less than we normally do, just because it's easier. Most of the talk from our episode on Monday was about the Raptors' defense because there isn't a ton going on anyway, right, with the rest of the team. I wish sometimes there was more, like, off-court ridiculousness with the Raptors, as much as, like, it's probably terrible to be a Clippers fan with the Blake Griffin stuff. Like, at least it's, like, stuff to talk about. Like, at this point, it's just like, oh, the defense isn't great and there's nothing else.
I was going to say, like, the most controversial thing that's happened this year is, like, James Johnson tweeted out, underutilized, hashtag mood.
Or like Terrence Ross dating Amber Rose.
That's not controversial.
Not
that's
at
just,
all.
That's
but
just
like
exciting
that's,
for Terrence Ross.
That's how
Rose.
Stable Congrats this franchise is, which is so
exactly.
Weird.
Masai, get some more questionable characters in the locker room. That's why we should have traded for Markieff Morris. We would have things to talk about with Markieff. No. No news is good news in terms of personality quirks and stuff. It's a team that likes each other. That's
yeah.
Good.
But so the defense is an issue. It has been lately. They're like bottom five, six in the last 15 games or so. And it reared its ugly head again last night in the first part of the game against the Nets, which you were at.
Right.
But, like, I don't know. I still have a hard time getting super worried about it because I think the problems are really, like, easy to distinguish what they are and it's easy to fix. Just a couple of lineup adjustments, and I feel like the issues kind of go away. Mm-hmm. But we talked about this ad nauseum for an entire podcast on Monday, but I want to know what you think about the Raptors' defense. And are you super worried about how they play lately?
It's been a very, very small sample since the All-Star break, which is kind of the section of the year that people are really worried about. They've dropped the 27th in defensive rating, which is not good. But I think there's some bad eggs mixed in there. There's a game without Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
And that kind of goes out of control. I mean, it's not like Kyle Lowry is some kind of prime Dwight Howard that's going to cement the defense. But, like, he's such a stabilizing force on the offensive end. And, you know, that flows back into the defense a little bit. And then you got a Damian Lillard game in there. And I thought he hit some lucky shots. I'm also a giant Damian Lillard hater, apparently. So take it for what it's worth. And then, you know, you got the James Harden game, whatever. And it's a small sample. It's not encouraging. And 27th is, like, very low. But I think it's sort of an exaggeration of sort of the weaknesses that are inherent in the Raptors' defense. Like, they do whatever they can to take away the paint. And over this time, they've been very good at taking away the paint and in transition. They just can't defend the three-point line as well because you have limited resources, especially if you're going to start two guys like Luis Scola and JV. We're slow to the point where you can really only choose from them to do one or the other, or in the Scola's case, neither.
Yeah.
I don't think the three-point – I think opponents got a little bit lucky with the three-pointers. I think that they've been fouling a lot more, which is not great, but I think that's sort of generally symptomatic of poor defense. And then they're just the perimeter players, man. I think they're tired. Like, you got Corey Joseph, who's played more than his – he's already played a career-high minutes.
Yeah.
You got Lowry and DeRozan, who are both top 10 in minutes played. You got Lowry playing 42 minutes against the Nets.
That's not great.
That's not great.
Are there quick fixes to what's going on? Is it just as simple as DeMarre Carroll coming back in and putting Patterson in for Scola? Like, I mean, we saw Jason Thompson last night. He's a better defender than Scola, at least. I'm not sure I like his offensive fit with a lot of the guys that the Raptors have.
He's a three-point shooter, all right?
Yeah. Like, the people who have never watched Jason Thompson and just last night saw him just, like,
I thought he was Serge Ibaka.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. That's so weird. But, like, Casey apparently today in practice was just like, yeah, if you wanted to work on it in practice, you got the green light. So,
sure.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, Scola hasn't hit any since like February.
No, he hit two, and I think the Rockets.
He did. Game. He did. But those were his like first ones since the All Star break. Yeah.
Yeah. It was bad.
So yeah, like don't expect Jason Thompson to shoot a lot more threes, but I don't know. Is there a quick fix to the problems they've had lately? Is it just a matter of getting Carroll back and shoring up the perimeter defense? Is there something that guys aren't doing that they were at the start of the year?
No, not necessarily. I feel like the guards have just been giving up penetration a little bit more readily than they have in the past. Yeah. And I think that part of that is, like I said earlier, I think it's just kind of fatigue. And also, it's one thing if you're like the start of the season or like even the middle of the season when you're trying to like really establish yourself as a team, you know, you're playing very, very hard. But in this sort of time of the year, during March, like you see a lot of weird results happen. You know, you got the Warriors losing to the Lakers because there's not a lot of margin for error. And like if you're going to play this conservative scheme, you're going to need your guards to be really attentive and like funneling action away from the middle towards the baseline. And I don't know. I think it's a matter of effort. I think once like the games get a little bit more important, or maybe down like the last 10 games of the season,
yeah, yeah,
when they really need to tighten up, they might they will. But I think it's, I don't know. You see it a lot. You see things like the Cavaliers losing to the Grizzlies. Like it's a weird time of the year for sure, and especially in the Raptors' position, like they're in no threat to seriously fall into third.
Yeah.
Out of the playoffs at all. I think the magic number is like 9 in March.
Yeah, they're getting really close.
Start of March.
So weird.
So, I think Mario Carroll coming back is going to help a lot. We saw pictures and some video of him moving around in practice.
The shoot-off with Bruno was just beautiful to see.
It is. It's great to see both those players because we have seen very little of either of them this year. And I think that will help for sure. And then I think it's just a mental focus thing, honestly.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I mean, I think it's human nature, right? Like, who's getting up for a game against Shane Larkin and the Nets in early March when you're up 5 games on third?
Not the Raptors, apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
They did not get up for that game.
But even then, you saw them, like, in the second half. They just sort of like, all right, we're better than them. Like, we're not going to lose this game to the Nets. And, like, they're so obviously the better team. Yeah. And you see what they can do when they do lock in. What's going on with JV's defense? Like, it's not like it's ever been good, per se. It felt like at the start of the season, with the new scheme, it was getting a little bit more promising, but it feels like the last little while here, I don't know if it's a matter of him playing next to Scola a lot, and there's just no help defense, and he ends up, you know, I feel like dump-offs are, like, the thing that destroy Jonas, because there's just nothing else to prevent teams from scoring inside, because Scola is not a plus defender in the slightest, right? I'm not really sure what it is that's not clicking for him lately, but, like, what are you seeing?
Well, I mean, okay, well, JV's, his defense is like his offense. It's just that him as a player, like, he's just very robotic. And you have to give him some very specific instructions, and I think he can follow those basically. But in terms of, like, having him think on his feet, it's not like someone like Lowry. Lowry is, like, sometimes he'll get caught out of position gambling.
Yeah.
But I think that's a product of a good thing with Lowry. It's like, let Lowry be Lowry because he's so smart. He, like, reads the plays beforehand and stuff. Like, he sees all how it all unfolds. He sees when he can be a beneficial as a help defender. That's just something you just never see out of JV. That he doesn't have that kind of natural intuition, so when you make, like, an extra pass, like, for example, I think a good example of that was, like, he was asked to guard Pau Gasol in the pick and roll a couple weeks ago. And, like, Pau wasn't doing anything that special. Pau was not even that special in the pick and roll in the first place. But Pau would just sort of pop out to the elbow area after setting a screen, like, inside the three-point arc. And typically that's a pretty bad play in today's NBA standards. But, like, because Pau was able to do that and, like, you know, get JV to bite on pump fakes and then dump off to Taj Gibson and stuff like that, it's just hard to expect Jonas to make 2 or 3 rotations. So it's really, really up to the guards to, you know, make it predictable, make the bigs only have certain options. So that way it kind of cuts down on what Jonas is thinking. And then, you know, he's had some decent games. I thought he was, like, really good against the Portland Trailblazers, especially on offense. But, I mean, defensively, he didn't have to do much in that one because you don't have to do much against Mason Plumlee or even Miles, or not Miles, what's the other guys? The really handsome Myers Leonard.
Okay.
Yeah, the 7-foot Ken doll that only shoots 3-pointers.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, he was okay then. And the recent one against Brook Lopez, yeah, he kind of got torched, but, like, Brook Lopez is going to be a bad matchup. Like, how could you expect someone like JV to guard a quick 3-point shooting big like Brook Lopez? I mean, that's how JV kind of treated him.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, I lost it on JV when I was in the arena to end the second quarter.
I think everyone saw the vine.
Yeah.
It was
man. Brook Lopez catches the ball. He's at the three-point line. He's open. He pump fakes. JV, like, leaps at him. Brook Lopez, the slowest dude on earth, like, inches past JV. And then, it was just such an ugly.
JV, like, leapt at a Brook Lopez pump fake, like, and his cancer leaps at a Jonas pump fake.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. It was brutal.
It's not great.
Yeah, I feel like
it's fixable.
Yeah,
it's fixable.
That's what I think too. That's the whole thing I can come back to. It's not like this is like last year where they just didn't have the personnel to be a good defensive team. I mean, you had like Lou Williams and Grievous Vasquez as your two primary guys at the bench in the backcourt. Like, they don't stop anybody. And Amir Johnson, as much as we love him, wasn't the same Amir Johnson last year. He was banged up all year with the ankles.
Still our best big, though.
Yeah. Kind
of sad.
Yeah, but, like, I feel like – and, I mean, Patrick Patterson wasn't as good a defender then as he is now. He's been amazing this
year. Just randomly blossomed into an awesome defender.
Yeah, and, like, I'm really excited to see, like, the switchability that him and Carroll might have in the playoffs. And yeah, like, I've kind of cooled down on the freaking out on Casey for not switching the starting lineup thing for now, just because I think it's kind of reasonable. Like, you understand why he wouldn't want to rock the boat in the middle of the season where they are 42-20 and have a good cushion. I mean, you'd like to see them establish a rotation that's going to be usable in the playoffs, but I mean, there's still time for that. And I also feel like, I mean, it seems like a team that has some good chemistry anyway. So, like, I feel like they could switch over later in the season to that Carroll Patterson starting lineup, have zero tape on it, and go into the playoffs, and it kind of would go off without a hitch. But maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, just with Casey, I think he's a little bit hesitant to downsize, especially with his starting units. It's just you just haven't really seen him do it ever in his tenure. So I don't think he'll bust that out in the playoffs. But I mean, this is why the Carroll thing coming back is such a promising sign, because he's not just going to be able to come back and like walk right into the scheme. It's not like Kyle Lowry, who's been here forever, or even DeMar DeRozan, or even Jonas, who we saw come back earlier this season from breaking a hand, and it was just fine.
Yeah.
Like, DeMar Carroll doesn't have that history with the team, so he really needs a couple games to figure out where he should be, and then also for the coaching staff to figure out where he can be and how to use him and stuff. So,
but at the same time, like, Carroll's a high IQ guy who's been like a fifth option his entire time in Atlanta. If anyone's going to just blend in when he comes back, it's Carroll. But yeah, I agree.
Like, defensively, it's still an adjustment. But offensively, he should be fine. Honestly, he's a guy that, like, look at Norman Powell or James Johnson. Like, you're just going to see DeMar Carroll in that spot instead. Like, the offense itself is not going to change.
Yeah.
It's just you have DeMar Carroll there choosing to shoot or drive.
Yeah, instead of James Johnson.
I'm
very much done with the James Johnson experience, I think. I don't know. Yeah. It's been pretty bad lately. What's, like, your take on, like, I don't know, every time I watch a Raptors game and things go badly, I almost have to log off Twitter because it's just too much, just like instant, this team's terrible, you're losing the playoffs, they're done, the Bulls are better, I'm out on DeMar, I'm out on Terrence, like, no one's out on Terrence, he's the best, but like out on JV, out on DeMar, like, I don't know, I just think, I mean, I feel like this is rampant in every fan base to a degree, like, I think all fan bases are crazy, but I don't know, like, I feel like a fan base of a 42-20 team should just, like, kind of cool it a little bit and
with the Cavaliers fan base. They're two games ahead of the Raptors, and they're losing their heads. Obviously, the Cavaliers get more national attention than the Raptors.
But isn't, like, the Cavs fan base more, like, defensive of their team? Or are they losing their minds thinking they're going to lose in the playoffs?
I'm starting to see two sides, but, like, they're, like,
more flavor.
Thank you. Free beer on the podcast.
Not bad.
With the Cavaliers, like, I think the Warriors were like, oh, we're going to lose the Warriors. It's inevitable.
Yeah.
And it kind of is inevitable. Yeah. Sorry, Cavaliers.
Like, what
fans.
A crazy psychological thing to deal with, where it's like, we have to succeed and win the finals for this to be a successful season, for it not to be a failure.
Yep.
And, like, it's just impossible for it to happen unless something crazy happens with, like, Steph Curry getting hurt or something.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like that is such like a psychological burden. I don't know. It's crazy. But
yeah, and plus, hey, if you win the championship with Steph Curry, all you're going to hear about is, well, you didn't have Steph Curry. Because literally all of last summer, all we heard about was the Cavs didn't have Kevin Love. They didn't have Kyrie Irving. That means shit, man.
Yeah.
They're probably better off not having them for 45 minutes a night just because of the way the Warriors would have carved them up offensively. maybe the Cavs would have been better off. Regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah, is the fan base a little bit too reactionary? I mean, can we subtweet Harsh?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
Sorry, Harsh.
Love you, buddy.
I think some of it's sarcastic. I think a lot of Harsh is like sarcastic, right? But I think the reason some of the jokes that he makes are what they are is because it's almost like poking fun at what you're saying, which is like how reactionary the fan base is, right? So it is, and there's good reason for that. I think read the
comment section on one of our sites. It's a wasteland.
Never read the comments, man. That's horrible advice. But I mean, this is also a franchise that's given fans a lot of reason to be skeptical, right? So I don't necessarily blame them for the way what they would react. I mean, I personally, I've seen what happened in the last literally five playoff series that the Raptors have played where they've got eliminated, or they lost. So like it's hard to trust this team, especially since the core of the team is largely the same. And I think occasionally, the times where you see them panic the most is when they face adversity and then they kind of resort back to some of their old habits.
Yeah,
DeMar's going to ISO a lot. Kyler's going to ISO a lot.
Which we've seen a lot more lately. I feel like we've seen a lot more DeMar, 2014 heaves.
The way they play sometimes also, I think, induces a little bit of panic because they almost panic. They get out of their games. Whereas, if you see the Warriors, for example, if the Warriors are, down 15 going into the fourth quarter and stuff, they're still running the same sets and stuff. They have, ultimate confidence. And now I'm not saying the Raptors should have as much confidence as the Warriors because that'd be ridiculous. But, the same thing with the Celtics, for example. When you see, Celtics play, they just stick to the system. That's not like, oh, my God, we're losing this lead. We're going to go to Isaiah Thomas every single time. They're not. Right? So I think part of the way the Raptors change their own game during these crunch time moments also makes fans feel worried because when they see DeRozan taking six straight ISO jumpers, oh my God, this is a big problem. Then they feel it too. So.
This is
what you get for 21 years of pure suckage, man.
But then on the other side of the coin, it's this is the best season in franchise history. Why can't people enjoy it a little bit more? It feels like people are just panicking about what's going to happen in the playoffs.
I think it's harder to enjoy in the moment as it is when you take big pictures. I think you look back at the game, usually the night after or the morning after, and you're more sober about it, it's most people are okay.
Why all they look back on the series against the Nets fondly? And just because
it was
a great season, an unexpected season that came out of nowhere. Fun series that they almost won when they probably weren't favored. I feel like they weren't really favored.
For sure.
And then, it was down to the final possession after a crazy comeback, and that was really cool.
What the hell was Paul Pierce doing in the middle of the lane? Kyle Lowry split a double team, and there was just Paul Pierce just standing in the middle of the lane. Why?
I'm so happy there's no Paul Pierce in the East this year, man.
I guess he just decided there's no way Kyle Lowry's going to pass it to one of the corner shooters. So I can just abandon him entirely and go to the hoop.
What's your most disheartening moment as a Raptors fan, if you look back over your time since you started watching the team? When did you start watching? Mid-2000s kind of deal?
The last season of Vince.
That's fun.
Midway through that season, too. So, there was just a lot of, banged up Vince not dunking. And then Aaron Williams. I looked up their stat pages at the time. I was actually kind of excited for
Eric Williams had decent numbers.
Yeah, he put up some numbers in New Jersey. I think 17 points one season. So I was like, this guy's going to be good. This kid's going to be good. And little did I know, he was 33 and on the cusp of retirement.
I'd be honest, I don't know, I was 12 when that trade happened. I had never heard of Eric Williams in my life.
Nope, me neither.
And I was like, oh, okay, I guess. And then I heard of Alonzo Mourning, and then he didn't show up.
Nope,
and that's what broke my heart was
Alonzo Mourning broke your heart?
Well, because I was aware of Alonzo Mourning at the time, right? And it's he's good. Why don't we get him? Just being I remember sitting in front of the TV, Global News was on reporting the trade.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, this is one of the saddest moments of my life right now. This is horrible. And looking back on it now, it's one of my sadder Raptors memories because there haven't been a lot of high leverage situations to be sad about.
Sad memories, for sure. You got things like the Andre Bargnani thing, which I think is ultimately like one of the biggest mistakes the franchise has made. I don't feel like people don't even give it more thought in retrospect, but you could have had LaMarcus Aldridge and Chris Bosh together in their rookie
year. Or you could have had Brandon Roy, right?
And well, like, even Brandon Roy.
We didn't know what was going to happen with the knees, but
well,
like,
we kind of knew.
I guess, but he was so good.
He was
amazing.
Level, man.
Yeah, he was probably a top 10 player for a time, right?
Yeah, I think Andre Bernani is like the objectively correct choice, but I think just game three after the playoffs last year, I think DeMar came out, he was like really hot. He scored like 20 in the first quarter and then like completely faded.
Yeah.
The Wizards just figured out what to do, which was just like stop guarding him with Paul Pierce and just put Otto Porter Jr. on him. And DeMar was just completely dead. And then the Raptors got blown out by like, I don't know, 12, 13 points.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just like, so I remember watching that game at work and then I came home. And at the time, I was living in Hamilton, and like I stayed at work a little bit late, so I missed the last bus from Union to Hamilton. So
yeah.
There's another bus, but like it like doesn't go direct on the QEW. It just like stops in literally every single tiny ass town.
Oh, and it's the drunkest bus of all time.
It is super drunk. Yeah. It's super sketchy. I'm sitting there just like sad. I wrote out a whole article on my phone just like how sad I was. And I posted it to Raptors Republic. It's called like a disappointment or something. And it's just like, a picture of Kyle Lowry looking sad as fuck. That's probably my saddest moment as a Raptors fan. But I was like, oh my God, this team is going to get blown up in the offseason. And like all the goodwill that the team had, you know, built up over the year and a half, like it's just all gone because they're gonna get swept, and they did get swept.
Yeah,
but they didn't blow up the team.
Yeah,
and the team got better.
It worked out well. Man.
So like, you know, not so sad in retrospect.
Yeah, I was like super heartbroken at the Jose Calderon miss against the Nets, but I mean that was a game six. They were never really probably gonna win that series. That would suck. So yeah, I was at game two of the series against the Wizards last year.
Yeah.
And that one was a bummer because, like, yeah, they were down a game, but, like, you still felt like they were very much in it, obviously. And, like, I remember I spent, like, $180 on tickets, went with some buddies. We were so excited. Lou Williams gets a Sixth Man of the Year award. Everyone goes crazy. And then, you know, what happens against that in that game? And
they get demolished.
Yeah.
So, last year, Raptors Republic had tickets, and Zarrar, he was going to give me, like, a free ticket.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, he was like, you can either go to game two, you can go to game five. And I was like, game five, obviously. That's going to be the more pivotal game. There's no game five. There was no game five. But in retrospect, I'm happy I didn't go to game two either. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so yeah, like, I have a similar story. Like back when the Leafs had that collapse against the Bruins in the playoffs in game seven.
Right.
Like I was more into hockey then. Like the last couple of years I've really fallen out of hockey, but I was big into hockey then.
What would make you fall out of hockey, Sean? Is it because of the Leafs?
Because I work at a TSN radio and it's hockey 4 hours a day whenever I'm there. Probably that.
You said that, not me.
No, it's okay. Right. It's fine. Like it's a lot of hockey. So
I love hockey.
I get tired of hockey when it works. So but no, like it was game seven. The Leafs obviously lost in horrible fashion. And then my dad texts me like 10 minutes after Boston has won. And he's like, damn, that sucks. I had tickets to game one against the Rangers in round two. I was like, bad timing, dad. It's not cool.
You got your money back, but that's about it.
Yeah, no, I think he had it through work or whatever. But still, it was that was a heartbreaking moment. Just a sad franchise, man. Like, not the Leafs, the Raptors. We'll go back to the Raptors now.
Sure,
like,
yeah. They're both sad franchises. But look, what you were saying earlier is a good point. It's like this is the best team we've had in franchise history. There's a lot of like upswing with this team. There's you know, flexibility in the summertime to like potentially make ads. So like, yeah, I think just once in a while when you like get too negative because you're like on the NBA stats page, you're looking at Luis Scola's on-off numbers.
Oh my God, this is so bad.
And then you're like, all right, this is terrible. But then you like take a step back, just take a step back, you know, click the franchise history page.
Yeah.
Read that history, and then
think about Ben Uzo 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Think about Ben Uzo and Solomon Alibi, Solomon Alibi had 19 rebounds in that game against
the Nets.
Terrence Williams.
Yeah.
And who I was really
Marshawn
Brooks with a capital S and small eyes.
Yes.
He has this really small facial feature. You know, like that. That FaceTime like thing, the plugin or whatever, the function.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you can like sort of narrow your facial features on one spot. Like that's Marshawn Brooks.
Oh yeah, here he is now.
They're just really close.
He looks a little bit like Markel Brown.
That's racist.
No, it's just the Brooklyn jersey here. It looks a little bit more like Markel Brown. How is that racist? They just look similar.
Right.
But anyway.
I have no idea what Marco Brown is.
Yeah. If you had hair, it'd be pretty similar.
Don't look anything like.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong. We can edit that out.
All right.
They do.
That's our quote of Markel Brown.
Man, Markel Brown last night. What did he do?
He jumped and he can't play basketball at an NBA level, but he has a 44-inch vertical, so.
Yeah,
he can play basketball. Right. He might be all right.
Yeah, maybe. Who is the other guy that Oklahoma State team? Marcus Smart. I'm dumb.
Marcus Smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy who went into the stands.
Yeah. And, like, didn't he, like, punch a guy or, like,
yep.
Yeah. Good stuff. I'm just trying to go back through sad players now for the Raptors because there are so many.
That's the next segment.
No, we'll get to a game and a sponsor later on.
Commenters, don't worry, we will play the game.
It's so bizarre. The only people we have like 3 iTunes comments, so it's not a big sample, but every single one is play more of that game because it's really, really fun and everyone hates playing it because no one's good at it except for. Oh, I mean, I feel like you'll be good at it. We'll get to that in a little bit here.
I don't know.
You mentioned the offseason.
Yes.
That started, I've been thinking a lot about that lately, just because, like, it feels like DeRozan's coming back, right? Like,
it's almost a certainty.
Yeah. Like, everyone, all the American sites I see, like, Real GM would be like, oh, the Lakers are really going to go out hard after DeRozan. But, like, no one's really factoring in the fact that it doesn't seem like DeRozan wants to leave. And if the Raptors are going to give him the 5th year, it feels like it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to stay. I mean, anything can happen, but, like, I feel like it's very, very likely he's back. And then if that happens, there isn't a ton of money to go around for free agents, right? And Will's dancing to this beautiful girl song.
Natalia Bedingfield, I think her name is.
Is that her? Oh, yeah, that's Natasha Bedingfield. That's
this is the banger.
Solid track.
She had 2 songs, but they're both bangers.
Yeah. So...
Offseason, yeah.
The offseason, yeah. So if they bring back DeRozan, they're pretty much capped out, right? And
yeah, they are.
I mean, Biombo has been a lovely surprise. It feels like he's going to get paid this summer, right?
Here's my thing with Biombo's surprise. Everyone who is, like, tremendously, immensely impressed with Biombo, A, you should be. He's been a really good backup center.
Yeah.
Go back or just go to his NBA, or his basketball reference page and just look at his numbers as compared to any other year.
Very similar?
They're almost identical.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm saying that, like, this is a good signing. He was underpaid the summer and he'll probably get paid close to what his true worth is. But, like, he's not, like, going to get this massive contract.
I don't think he's going to get a massive contract, but I think with the way the cap's going, like, I don't
but
think
the thing
it's
is, last year's summer like was factored like, in, like, this year's price.
Yeah.
Right?
But I still feel like he's probably going to get close to 10, no? Like, $8 million a year?
I don't know, man. I don't think anyone's paying $8 million a year for a backup center, even in.
Maybe not.
The next
Maybe season, I'm maybe overestimating it, but it still feels like he's...
It's like, what, $7 million?
Yeah.
Like $6.5 million in the current cap, so like...
Maybe, I don't know. It feels like he's not going to be back, is what I'm thinking, because he's probably going to price himself out, and Bebe's probably ready for some backup
center
minutes.
It's like a mid-level exception, though.
Okay, but isn't the mid-level close to $8 million next year? Like,
I guess.
It's creeping up to that, so...
Yeah. So the Raptors won't be able to get the ball back.
No, probably not, and then... Bebe's...
Just think about a full season of Bebe.
That'd be lovely. Like, he's...
It wouldn't be
got
lovely.
Got issues,
Jamie
but...
Jamie has some matchup problems, and I don't think Bebe covers them.
No, not at all.
Biombo does a great job with that. That's
exactly,
why
There's such a good combo to have, right? And, like, anytime JV's struggling, Biombo's a guy you can bring in, and he's usually going to fix whatever JV's struggling with, right?
Sure,
But so, Biombo's probably not back. James Johnson, I don't think, is back.
I highly doubt it, yeah.
And then you're looking at... There's other free agents, though. Is that it?
Those are the major ones.
Yeah, right? And then so there's not a ton of room to do anything else.
Jason Thompson, our best three-point shooter.
Jason Thompson, stretch four is... stretch five, really, in this new NBA. So I don't know. Like, what would you like to see them do this offseason if there isn't a ton of money to kick around? Like... Is there a trade maybe with Jonas or Terrence Ross?
I think that
especially Ross's contract becomes super tradable this offseason.
Both Ross and Valanciunas' contracts are going to get very tradable. You have a lot of draft picks, so if the Raptors make a move, it'll probably be at the time of the draft.
Yeah.
Just because that way teams can actually get the players they want with those draft picks.
Yeah.
The problem with that, I believe, is that at the draft, the Raptors, wouldn't be able to trade JV or Terrence Ross under their new contract. It would still be poison pill at that point, which kind of sucks. because the draft happens before free agency. But I mean, like, could they bundle up some picks and move up? Maybe.
Yeah.
Or could they, like, swap some of those picks with Patrick Patterson for the upgrade of power four that they kind of want to do this trade deadline but didn't accomplish?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think most likely they'll probably make a trade. I don't think that this is the team they're going to stick with. I think, obviously, DeMar Carroll's been gone for, like, more than half the season, but
yeah.
I don't think that...
I mean, he's been like, himself for, like, five games of the season, right? Like, he's been hurt.
Yeah, he has.
Pretty much any time he was in there, he was hurt, so...
Yeah, so, you know, he even if he is healthy, like, the team is not complete even with him, and you're obviously looking for a power forward upgrade, and I think if you can trade for that, whether it's using Terrence Ross or maybe even Jonas Valanciunas to turn that into... from the more established at power forward, I think they should try to do that. And even a sign and trade is probably possible.
Yeah.
Like, I think you could probably get Nick Batum if you somehow sign and traded Jonas Valanciunas to the Hornets. Now, I don't know if the Hornets want...
Yeah, I don't know if, like, Valanciunas is really what they're into.
Sure.
Especially if Jefferson's going to be done this summer and, like, they want to move away from that, but...
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, who knows?
It doesn't seem like they're
they have guy. Flexibility. Here's the thing. When you, one of the great things that Masai Ujiri has done is that all his contracts are tradable... contracts. It's not like some it's not like some Brian Colangelo situation where you have like Hito Turkoglu, and in order to move Hito Turkoglu, you're going to have to give up some stuff. Or like Jason Capono and Jarrett Jack and this type. Like, these are all quality players on good contracts. And so, they'll be movable, and if the Raptors see fit, they could probably liquidate those contracts to someone else to sign somebody, or just trade straight up.
Yeah. Nick Batum's interesting. And
he
like, there's that rumor or whatever that he wants to come to Toronto. I don't know. It came from Zach Lowe, so I feel like I believe it.
Sure.
But
Zach
like,
excellent.
Yeah, so he kind of knows his stuff. And like, if they wanted to go with like a full-time small unit, that'd be pretty cool. I don't know. I don't know how feasible that is over the course of a full. Like, even the Warriors don't go small per se, like all season long. Like, that feels like that would be a pretty big grind if your starting lineup is inherently small.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, most teams that do go small, like, they have contingencies in place. Like, like the Rockets go small for most of the game, but, like, they still start off with Dwight Howard and Monta Ellis or Terrence Jones.
Yeah.
You know, the Pacers, like, they tried to put small Paul George there. I started calling him Small George.
Small
for
George.
A while.
I blame Taz Mellis for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, like, he's moved back to small forward after, like, kind of rejecting his power forward spot. So, no one really wants to face out that banging, man. It's not just, like, defending in the post. It's, like, setting screens or getting banged around screens.
I think the
like,
screens is more so because there aren't, like, a ton of great post threats anymore anyway, right?
Yeah, like, screens, rebounds, like, this stuff. Yeah. Like, that really hurts. And then on top of that, you got, like, Zeebo to... with a low man. Are you really that worried about 35-year-old Siebel playing you twice a year? Not really.
I'm not building my team with that in mind.
We'll see. I think one of the things, again, the Masai Ujiri's done really well is that he's done really well in building for the margin.
Yeah,
okay. No problem.
So, you had a squirrel in center.
Was that?
Did you say you had a barking squirrel originally or something like that?
No.
No? That wasn't you. My mistake.
Oh, okay, of course.
Sorry, buddy.
All right. So Masai Ujiri's done really well building through the margins. Like, you've just, like, even like the small, tiny moves like trading John Salmons for Lou Williams and Baby McGuire. Like, that's a really good trade.
Yeah.
It's a really good trade for the Raptors. You get Lou Williams, who, you know, recovered from an ACL and then became the sixth man of the year.
Yeah.
However dubious that award looks in retrospect.
He gave you production.
He gave you a lot of production.
Like, more than John Salmons was going to give you.
Exactly.
And, like, won you games in the regular season where your offense was sputtering and he came in and scored 30. Like, that's worth something.
Buddy, he won us a game in Cleveland.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's worth something, even if it was, like, a complete detriment in the playoffs.
And you got Baby in that deal. You got things like Bismack Biyombo getting, you know, just found Bismack. And he's clearly been underpaid. I don't think he's going to get paid tremendously, but he's been underpaid this year.
Yeah.
Louis Scola, like Patrick Patterson, like those are good. Like or Corey Joseph even. Like
the Joseph deal looks amazing right now.
It looks amazing. So
yeah,
I think Masai Ujiri does a really good job. I trust him to fill the rest of the bench if depth is what we need. But in the meantime, you know, that's where you hope some of your young players that just sit on the bench and do nothing.
Yeah, because like eventually, like
they'll be good eventually.
Yeah, like most guys do turn into at least rotation players, right? Like if they're like first round picks, like. I feel like DeLon Wright he's struggled or whatever. Like, that's the kind of guy who will eventually just sort of, oh, hey, this guy can play 20 minutes a night as a backup or whatever.
Eventually,
right?
DeLon Wright won't get burned by Steve Novak.
Steve Blake.
Steve Blake.
Steve Blake, yeah.
I don't know what's worse. Can he burn by Steve Novak or Steve
Blake? As a point guard, probably Steve Novak, but yeah, so... There's one for you, though. Like, I think it was Real GM said that the Raptors shouldn't bring back DeMar DeRozan. On their podcast, someone said that. I didn't listen to it. Someone mentioned it in the comments or question. In a way, I feel like there might be something to that if the Raptors think they can go after one of the big free agents. I don't think they particularly can unless it's Batum. And we talked about it. There are ways to get him into the house if, like, even if you have DeRozan back. Like, is there anything to be said for just letting DeRozan walk and just, like, using that cap space? Because my whole thing all year has been, like, especially even at the start of the year when he wasn't playing at the level he's at now, was, like, what's the backup plan if you let DeRozan walk? Like, there aren't many great free agents. Kevin Durant's not coming to Toronto. Like,
well, he's not coming to Toronto.
And, like, so what's the backup plan? Are you just going to take a step back and just be like, all right, we'll figure it out later? Or, like, I've never really got the idea if DeRozan wants to stay, I think you should keep him. But, like, is there something to be said for letting him go?
From the Raptors' perspective, no. If you let him go, the cap room you have is $10 million, which is, like as we discussed earlier, if Bismack Biyombo is going to cost $8 million, are you really going to let DeRozan go and then use that room to sign Biyombo?
Yeah.
Right? So,
yeah. That's just sort of the problem I have sometimes.
Almost, I don't want to say it's a guarantee, but it's a guarantee that DeMar DeRozan is going to be re-sign on the Raptors,
yeah.
I think.
That's kind of the problem I have with, like, the Real GM stuff is, like, while they're crazy intelligent and I love a lot of the stuff they do, I feel like they don't look at the context of each team enough.
And it's hard to do that.
It is really hard, right? If you're not, like,
you're every day
exactly
all these quotes that DeMar DeRozan is dropping about how much he loves the Raptors.
Exactly.
You can't just outright say, I'm going to re-sign with the Raptors. It's like his agent would literally, like, quit.
Yeah,
on the
yeah,
spot.
For sure.
Well, his agent won't quit. He's going to get a mask. Yeah, like, he can't fully say that he's coming back, but obviously he's made all the indications that he's going
to
come back.
Yeah. Do you want to get to our flagship segment here? Episode sponsor?
Let's do it.
That's
a
fun game? Okay.
All right. You should name this game.
No, it's called That Random Raptors Game.
Okay. Right.
It's not great.
Maybe something more catchy.
We can workshop it.
Is that what you guys actually call it?
That's what I just came up with one day because I just wanted to have, like, a name for it. So I've been picking people out here. I'm going to go with Charlie Villanueva as our episode sponsor.
Charlie V.
Yeah, this impromptu episode of the headquarters brought to you by
Huskies.
Charlie V. So, yeah, here's my Charlie V thing. When he first came out,
yeah,
I was so excited the Raptors drafted him because I love UConn and I love that UConn team. I think Denim Brown was on that team, so I was really excited by the 05 UConn team. You know, a good Toronto boy, Denim Brown, who missed a game-tying shot against George Mason. Although, this was the year after. I'm wrong.
Is Denim Brown the guy who dropped, like, 101 points in, like, a high school game?
That sounds familiar.
It was, like, 111.
He was, like, my first grade hope to be an NBA player.
I remember it.
111.
111?
Yeah,
that was him. Yeah. That was a legend, Toronto.
Yeah.
Man.
So, and then, yeah, he played at UConn, and, like, I think he got a cup of coffee with, like, the Sonics or something.
Sure.
But, like, I always liked those UConn teams,
yeah,
and I loved Charlie V, and I was pretty excited when the Raptors took him, even though, I mean, so I'm looking at this draft now, 2005. Actually, there wasn't much after him in this draft. It's kind of a garbage draft. So, first overall was Andrew Bogut. This was the Chris Paul draft. He's easily the best player. And then you have, like,
Darren Williams.
Then after Charlie V, it's
Marvin,
like,
Williams.
Second overall.
Second.
Ray Felton was fifth. Martell Webster sixth. Channing Frye was eighth, right after Charlie V. Ike Diogu. Andrew Bynum was 10.
One of the many centers that were shit. But
Mark Cuban paid a lot of money. Sean May was in this draft. Rashad McCants. Like, this is a really bad. This was the Joey Graham draft.
The one that's married to Candace Parker. Sheldon Williams.
That's the one. I'm pretty sure they played on the same team.
Same player. Yeah. Both UNC players. Yeah.
No. Sheldon Williams was Duke, but I think it was
Sheldon Williams. Sorry.
Yeah. Sheldon Williams was Duke, but so Sean May, Sheldon Rashad McCants, like that UNC team won the title. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
Yeah, because they had Marvin Williams, too.
Two top 10 picks?
They had four guys in the top 14.
They had Harrison Barnes 1.0, which is...
Rashad McCants?
No, Marvin Williams.
Oh. Sorry, this was the Joey Graham, Antoine Wright draft. Danny Granger went 17th. He's like the third best player here. Jan Mahimi was here. Johan Petro, Jason Maxiel, who just like chased a guy or got chased or something in the
yeah,
Chinese
he chased
league.
A guy in the Chinese
yeah.
league.
They were all, this is a terrible draft. Oh my
yeah,
god.
Yeah, that was not great.
So bad.
Charlie V actually, it turns out, he's probably like the one.
One of the guys with the most longevity, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
He's still in the league. He has a little blog.
Yeah.
Why can't Charlie V get a spot on the Players Tribune?
Why not?
Is there like a minimum on the Players Tribune? Like, are there, yeah, because like there are some. Okay, so there's the upper class players. Like, obviously, Kobe, he wants to write a shitty poem and
yeah,
say
yeah.
he's retiring.
Kevin Durant right. wants to be like an associate editor.
Or take some pictures, that's fine. Kevin Love,
yeah.
whatever. All that
yeah.
stuff is good. But if you're like Jason Thompson, you're not getting on the Players Tribune.
Jason Thompson should get on the Players Tribune with a giant Sacramento expose, but that's
like,
a different story.
He's gonna come out with a book.
Oh man, I can't wait. So the game I'm choosing for our random Raptors
wait,
game to go through.
Did we get to the Twitter questions?
Oh
or?
Shit, no, we didn't.
All right.
Let's How go. Many do we have?
We got 3 Twitter questions.
Oh, and we had one from Sasha earlier.
We'll do one really quickly.
Okay.
Or we'll do it really quickly, and then we'll watch the game. All right,
what
so
do you
the
got?
The game is happening. Okay, sure. Sasha, Carla, friend of the podcast for sure. Former Raptors HQ contributor.
Yeah, yeah, he's like OG
yeah,
Raptors
OG,
HQ.
OG Raptors HQ.
Yeah. We compared him to Amir Johnson because he like bridged generations of Raptors HQ.
He's also really great, really friendly, and super underrated. Shout out to Sasha, Vice. Thoughts on grown-ass humans that earnestly and or jokingly rock customized jerseys. I was at the game yesterday.
Yeah.
The guy who wore like a 460 jersey and like the back of it said McDonald's. Like, why?
What?
Why would you pay like, how much is it? Like, at least $100.
It's like a 180 for a jersey with stitching on it.
That's ridiculous.
And his number was 460?
It's like 460.
Why?
It was 3 digits and it had 4 and 6.
That's like so. That TSN special that ran with that guy from China who wanted to play for the Seahawks, who wore like number 110 and was like a smoking defensive back and wore jeans. You have no idea what I'm talking
that
about now.
Badass.
Yeah, it was pretty great. Anyway, don't wear customized jerseys, even if you're being
super
ironic.
Late.
A customized, like, cool t-shirt that you bought somewhere deep on the internet.
Okay,
yeah.
Sure. If it's customized for you.
No, not for you. If
yeah.
it's like a niche market t-shirt,
oh, for sure,
fine.
Yeah.
Like, I have a Guinness shirt, but it's Giannis with the Bucks logo. That,
okay.
Yeah, so,
cool, yeah.
Yeah, so that's as far as I go with the customized stuff.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. Right. You have other ones?
Yeah, this is from Phil Varzuma, who asks, any thoughts on giving some more minutes to Patrick Patterson and Jason Thompson in the forward-center combination? Thompson says he shoots threes. What adds spacing? Just because
you
can shoot threes
doesn't mean
and...
that makes spacing. Like,
yeah,
that's like that's the problem with Scola, right? But no.
Also,
even then...
if you only have 2 career three-pointers, no one's necessarily respecting your spacing. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
To put
right?
Jason Thompson's 2 three-pointers in perspective in his career.
Yeah, he doubled.
Anthony Bennett made 3 this year.
He doubled his career 3-point output last night.
Yep.
So
yeah,
I don't think we ought to expect that over, but like. If you look at the guys that Thompson fits with on the Raptors front court, Patterson's probably the best fit, right?
Well, that's because Patterson fits best with all the
that's
Raptors.
That's very
players.
True.
Players.
Yeah, and like Thompson's probably best as a backup center, but like that, he's not getting minutes over Biyombo or JV.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think you can increase Patterson's minutes, especially once you get to like the playoffs or when Damari Carroll's back. If they're going with that crunch time lineup where they had Damari Carroll playing the 4. I mean, Patrick Patterson, that's when you start him and play him a ton in the first half and whatever, third quarters or whatever, instead of the 23 whatever minutes he's getting tonight or a night now. So
yeah. It's also if you take up Biyombo, like some of Patterson's bigger weaknesses are more explosive.
Exactly, right? And
Biyombo's a really good rebounder, and Patterson's a pretty weak rebounder.
And Jason Thompson is nothing resembling a rim protector. Yeah, like
he can protect the rim a little bit. I thought he had a couple nice weak side rotation.
Sure.
I think he's solid defensively in most scenarios. I just think that it's probably best at power forward. I mean, that's where we had the weaknesses in the first place.
So. Yeah. So yeah, I think putting him next to JV is probably the best fit. In terms of like other than Patterson, just because JV's offensively minded and Thompson can stretch it, and he's a bit more mobile defensively than Scola. But yeah, I'd like to see Thompson get more minutes, although just to see what he can do. But I'm not sure he's getting a ton going forward, right? So, what else you got?
All right, this last one, we just only have three questions today. At Icarus the Sens, given the Raptors' struggles dealing with traps on DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry with Brooklyn, is this a concern for the playoffs?
You go.
It is. It's part of the reason why I really wanted the Raptors to trade for a guy like, you know, Ryan Anderson.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, if the price was reasonable.
Yeah. I remember having a Twitter interaction with you, yeah, like a month ago, saying, oh, Scholes is a way better defender than Ryan Anderson. Like, markedly better. I might have been wrong there.
It's all right, man. It's all right. We've all been there.
Or he's just in a bit of a regression and you'll get back up to being just kind of not terrible, but pretty bad.
I mean, I doubt the 35-year-old's going to bounce back at the end.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah.
But
yeah, that's a concern for sure.
It is a concern because this is a very easy strategy for teams to basically dare the Raptors to beat them with everyone else. And
yeah,
if you really think about it, when was the last time the Raptors were carried to victory by someone other than DeMar DeRozan or Kyle Lowry?
Yeah.
Or both.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right? And so I think DeRozan has got better with dealing with traps, even with bigger defenders, which he used to struggle with more.
But yeah,
it's not like he's so effective with them now that, like, the Raptors have some sort of Steph Curry, Draymond Green pick and roll combination where if you trap the ball, like, you know,
you're screwed anyway. Yeah, but I also think it's exacerbated by the fact that Scola and James Johnson are starting. And
but I mean, like,
I mean,
I don't know who's really going to help you or who's going to really hurt in that situation. Like, if you trap Lowry and DeRozan all game and they kept swinging it to Carroll, do you think Carroll's going to hit 10 threes or something like that?
It's
not possible.
It's a better bet than James Johnson or Luis Scola, and he can create a little bit more off the dribble.
Sure, but I mean, like, if you're getting DeMar Carroll even to create into the 4-on-3 advantage for you a lot of the time, it's a little bit more terrifying. So, like, that's why I thought if you got someone like Ryan Anderson, when they trap the ball, they can't really afford to do that because Ryan Anderson's like a dead-eye three-point shooter. That guy will actually give you 10 three-pointers if you trap Larry DeRozan all game.
Well, I mean, TJ Ross will give you a 14 three-point shooter.
Sure, but I mean, like,
they do that, but
it's a little bit more difficult. I mean, you're asking Terrence Ross to set screens and stuff for you.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the guy that pops around screens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so.
Yeah. It is a worry, man, and that's I hate that you reminded me of that. Maybe Patrick Patterson will be hot for the playoffs, though, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't pass on three-pointers?
No, never. His floater game is on point.
He's ready to drive it to the rim, and he's only got, like, 22 free-throw attempts for the whole entire
That is insane.
Season.
I didn't realize that last night. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts. DeMar DeRozan had more free throws than that one game.
That's amazing. That's sub-Terrence Ross free-throw level. Like,
yeah, no, Terrence Ross is always, like, a solo, like, 25 or something.
That's crazy. It's okay. There's usually swearing. It's fine. Plus, we talked about, like, eating people on the last podcast. So don't worry. Yeah. So let's get back to our game then. We'll wrap it up. Charlie Villanueva was our episode sponsor. We're going to pick the game where he scored 48 points against the Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, my God.
So this game took place on March 26, 2006. The Raptors lost 125-116. To the Bucks, they fell to 26-44. The Bucks
lost.
Yeah,
wow.
The Raptors have a way of losing when their young guys go for crazy amounts of points.
Yes.
The Bucks moved to 35-35. This was a Michael Redd, Andrew Bogut, Jamal McGlure led team with a little bit of Bobby Simmons on the side and Dan Gadzirich.
Bobby Simmons won Most Improved Player one time.
Yeah,
I was really impressed by
him. The Clippers, right?
It's either with the Clippers or the Nets.
Oh, okay.
Like,
but so there were 11 Raptors to play in this game.
Okay.
Try to name them.
All right, Chris Bosh.
Yep.
Mike James.
Yep.
Jose Calderon?
No. Charlie V, obviously. We'll
Charlie
throw him
V
in there.
Okay. And then other bigs. So
Chris Bosh only played 7 minutes in this game.
He must have been.
Yeah, and that's why Charlie V went off, apparently.
Lauren Woods.
No Lauren Woods.
No Lauren Woods. Mm. That's Joey Graham.
Joey Graham.
Joey Graham. Okay, good. Hoffa.
Yep. Played 217 with one turnover. That's his only stat.
Oh man. Fred Jones.
No Fred Jones.
No Fred Jones. Good.
Like he was the next season.
No Jason.
No. There's one guy that I didn't know even played for the Raptors, and I don't know who he is, so we probably won't get him, but we'll get to him later.
Okay.
You're missing two starters.
I'm missing two starters?
It's a center and a wing.
And a wing.
Wait. Yes, Mo Pete.
Yeah.
He played 48-48 in this game.
Of course. Mo Pete,
The other person that starts in this lineup makes me like really want to envision this lineup again because it's a very bizarre starting lineup.
Is it Barney?
No. It's a big guy though.
Oh, Barney's on those.
No.
Ooh, so it wasn't Hoffa, it wasn't Bosch?
It's a very, very short name.
Very short name.
I think he's African.
Hopsal?
Yes.
Oh,
God. So you have a starting lineup that includes Bosch, Popso, and Villanueva. So Charlie V essentially was playing the three, I guess. Which is sure.
The previous era of basketball was much better than the current one with Steph Curry.
Yeah, so you're missing four guys.
I'm missing four guys
on the bench.
Yeah, okay. All
right. One guy had 13 points. Three for four from three.
Okay. I'm talking like Donyell Marshall's gone, right?
Yeah, he's gone.
Rashawn Leonard's gone.
Rashawn Leonard's way gone.
He's way gone.
It's like these are just Denver Nuggets days.
Oh, man. Last four players. Okay, yeah. These ones are going to be tough. Give me like a hint.
One guy plays for... how many guys are still... One guy is still in the league.
One guy's still in the league and he's not Lauren Woods?
No. He just got avoided. He just avoided being cut by a very, very good team by a hair. Because they brought in a buyout guy.
Oh, Matt Bonner!
Yes, sir. Yes. He's the guy who had 13 points on 3-for-4 from downtown.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Have three guys left. One we've mentioned already today.
We mentioned this guy already today.
Yeah.
He's probably not in the league anymore.
No, very much not.
That's a lot of Raptors are not in the league.
Given how old he was when we mentioned him.
All right. No. Okay. We'll pass on this guy. All right. The other two, are you getting any hints?
You pass it on him?
Sure.
We've already mentioned him. It's Vince Carter trade.
Oh, is it Eric Williams?
Yeah, Derek Williams.
Eric Williams. Good lord.
Yeah.
He's a staple one of the season.
Apparently, yeah. And there's two guys left. One guy hit one of the biggest threes in franchise history. I'm being kind of facetious.
Oh, Dark Mark.
Yes, sir.
Keep that streak alive against the Dallas Mavericks at like a 23-point loss.
Oh, man.
Great job.
We did that game like a couple weeks ago.
We had to explain quickly to Jason Terry. They're like, oh, by the way, there's this streak. Jason Terry is like, y'all are so sad. We're just letting it slide.
There's one guy left. I don't know who the hell he is. He might be related to one of the guys who runs Canada Basketball now. I don't think you'll ever get this. He played a total of 67 career NBA games, 17 with the Raptors.
There's always one of these guys on the Raptors team.
Yeah, always one.
There's always a guy about to lead the league.
His 17 games with the Raptors, he did score 10 points, or 11 points and 7 rebounds. 11.7 assists.
Per game?
Yeah, in his 17 games. Sorry, that's per 36. I do that all the time on fucking basketball reference. 4.6 points, 2.9 assists, 17 games with the Raptors.
That sounds like a guard.
Yeah. I honestly don't know who this is. 5'10".
He's like, is he Juan Dixon? Like the guy that got traded for Juan Dixon?
Oh God, I don't know.
All right, I don't know.
All right. Andre Barrett.
Andre Barrett.
That's a guy. Apparently, he played less than a full season his entire career.
What a terrible team.
Yes.
Why did Charlie B play three and then put up 48?
That's amazing. I think that's all we got, though, man. All
right, that's not bad.
We just recorded like an hour podcast in the basement of a bar. It could be worse. And now Hoop Talks is going to start.
Come to the next Hoop Talk to them.
Yeah, for sure. Keep an eye out, follow them. They do great stuff. Kevin Pelton's here tonight. We're very excited for this. So, Will, thanks for coming on, man. Really appreciate it. Anything coming down from you, podcast-wise, writing-wise?
So podcast-wise, you know what? Probably not very much. I know this week I will be recording a podcast that I do every week, the Raptors Weekly Extra podcast with Blake Murphy.
Yeah.
That'll come out on Friday.
So is there dissension in the ranks of the defeated pod? Is there
There's always dissension in the ranks of the defeated pod. Rest in peace for that podcast.
Is it done for sure? Is it ever coming back?
It's definitely coming back.
Okay.
It's just a
great podcast. Listen to the defeated.
Listen to the very defeated. Good. Harsh is on the podcast. Dude, if you like Harsh's text about Honeydew and shit, definitely talk about Honeydew. Arun's on the podcast. Shout out to my boy Arun. He's working away right now. NFL free agency. Things are popping. And occasionally I'm on the podcast. So if you've enjoyed this 1 hour and you're this masochistic and you're still listening, Thank you.
Why not?
So check that out. Check that out.
Yeah, you can follow Will at William_Lou. Is that it? Cool. I'm at Woodley Sean. Raptors HQ is at Raptors HQ, of course. You can subscribe to the podcast. So yeah, thanks for listening to the headquarters. We're going to go drink some beer and talk about basketball some more, or listen to people talk about basketball who are smarter than us.
Definitely
and,
smarter than us.
Maybe you'll see us at one of these things 10 years down the road or whatever.
You'll probably see us in the stands for a while, but soon we'll move up to the big chair.
For sure. All right. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back with another episode next week of the headquarters.
Over!